And we want to build upon that. We want to build in this new series. We want to build upon what God is doing, has done among us. And this new series is called Emmanuel Church Heart Convictions. There we have a new graphic. Look, Heart Convictions. And it's in order for us to try to come and visit again what God has called us to be, who God has called us to be as a community. And this community, we stretch back to 1980, and Sandra and I started attending in 1985, so come the autumn, we'll have been here 40 years. Hey! Hands up if you're under 40. There's a lot of people under 40 who didn't put your hands up. I kind of know that now. Either that or you look a lot younger than you are. But 40 years ago, we came here. And over that period, much has changed in terms of where we meet, how we meet. But there are fundamentals which have remained the same. And those are the things I want us to look at under this new series, Heart Convictions. Because things around us can change, but as a community, there are foundational blocks which have remained the same down through those 40 odd years. And some of them have been very odd. Thank you. Keep up. You need to keep up here. One of the things I was struck with was how our meeting venues have changed over the years. Now, that your response to this will tell us how old you are. Because way, way back, before we started coming, we met in Vane Tempest Hall. But then for many, many years, we met in the carpet factory. They're the old people. If you started coming to Emmanuel when we were in the carpet factory, can you just put your hand up? Give us a wave. Now, there's a very good reason I haven't asked those to stand. A very good reason, because I'm not particularly into a lot of prayer ministry at the end for those who have not been able to cope with standing. But do that again. Right? Now have a look around. You have been in the church all of those years. And we want to thank you for your service down through those years, because there's a sense in which we are here today because of that core which has seen us through all that God has done among us and remained faithful in that. Then the carpet factory, which was a listed building, and you can't touch listed buildings. But it was unlisted, delisted. And they came along and said, we're going to knock this down. So we had to find a new home. So we literally moved about 50 yards along the road to the sixth form centre. And we think we did that in 1997. And we were there until 2009. Now, how many people, give us a wave, how many people joined us? Hello, Karen! Joined us while we were in the sixth form centre. Excellent. Now, Jenny Collins, you've got a story to tell, haven't you? Your first, you have now. Jenny came from Peter Lee, and to be honest, we didn't have a good connection with Peter Lee. We had many people come and go, and Jenny came from Peter Lee, and I think I shared some thoughts with you afterwards, Jenny, and I thought, you know, because I am a man of faith, I said to Jenny, I thought we'd never see you again. Faith! And here Jenny is, very much part and parcel of what God has been doing down through the years. So that's the sixth form centre. And then in 2009, we moved across the road. How many people joined us during that time? Raymond's not sure. He's not. Lindsay knows. Well, I'll stick with you, Lindsay. Stick with you. So we were across there, and moving into the Durham Centre was the fulfilment of a long-time dream we had to find a home of our own. Because one of the things that we faced was you might be able to have a venue on a Sunday, but you had nowhere that you could hold anything through the week. You would turn up at the venue on a Sunday and you find rooms that you have always used were suddenly locked. Part of the hall where you met was suddenly barricaded off. It was an absolute nightmare. And when we started, we could get the equipment because we had to take everything in and out. You remember this, Ryan? We would take stuff. You could get it right to the very door. You could take it out of the van or the trailer that we had. You turn it one Sunday and they've put new barriers in. You can't get the PA equipment anywhere near the building. That's all got to be carried in and carried out again. Well, we escaped from there in 2009, and God gave us that venue across the road. But you are here this morning as testimony to that's not the end of the story. Because God spoke to us very, very early on and said he wanted us to buy this building in order to create a bigger context in which we could gather. So we had that. I think it had pushed about 300 seats. And for many, I think they thought, well, that's it. We have arrived. But God said, I've got more for you. I've got a bigger vision for you to fulfill. And we are here as testimony to that vision being fulfilled even as we gather week by week. God has more for us even now than we have so far received.
Yeah.
And there are empty seats among us. God wants to fill those empty seats. This room will comfortably seat about 400. And we do not have 400 here. And God's given us that vision.
Yeah.
And if John was here, he would say 400, Chris,
and beyond.
And so we've been a people on the move. We've been a people moving into various venues. And this is not the end. Let's wait and see what God wants to do in these coming years. But as we have looked at these changes, there are things within the community, these essential building blocks within Emmanuel that have not changed. And I want us to consider those over the next few weeks. And the first is this, that we are a people of word and spirit,
yeah,
holding those two in balance. And this morning I want to consider what it is for us to be a people of the word. So venues have changed, but the written word of God still is the building block upon which we build as a community.
Yeah.
If it isn't in the word of God, we shouldn't be doing it. If it isn't in the word of God, we need to question where we are. But we need to recognize the Bible is the revelation of God speaking to us and leading people to Jesus. The Bible is all about leading people to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's God revealing himself in order that Jesus might be revealed to us. It's the supreme authority on all matters of faith. And always, as I've said, points to the uniqueness of Jesus and the claims of the gospel.
Yeah.
All scripture, Timothy says, is God breathed. All scripture. Not just the bits we like. Now we will all have favorite verses. In fact, just the other night we're in a meeting and someone said, so what's your favorite passage of scripture? And I just leave it up to you to guess what it might be. Oh, thank you, Richard. We have Richard, who is obviously in the anointing here this morning. And because that speaks to me what Jesus wants the church to be. It's not a history book, but it's what Jesus wants the church to be. So all scripture is God-breathed. The bits you like and the bits you don't like. The bits you understand and the bits you do not understand. Because the truth of scripture does not rely upon my understanding, but upon the fact it is God-breathed.
Yeah.
And there are passages that challenge us in our understanding. But as David Campbell has said, the problem with God is he thinks he's God. We are not. And it's our understanding needs to come in line with the word of God. And where there are passages that we simply do not understand and we grapple with, that's where extra faith is required. We need faith in order to understand certain sections of scriptures which do not connect with us in our understanding. God is God. And as we as a community stand as a community built upon the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, what we need to recognize that where we are in society, we will become more and more outside of society because society's values and culture is moving so far away from what was once accepted as the norm. You know, those of us of a certain age, we face challenges in society that were never thought of 50 years ago. But now it's almost like everything is being questioned. And as society becomes more godless and concentrates on the sinful desires of each individual, so we will stand more in opposition to those values because of what Scripture says. And the question is, are we going to go by Scripture or are we going to go by society? Are we allowing culture to creep into the church rather than the church creep into culture? It's a huge challenge for us. And there is an increasing attempt to silence the Christian voice in society. I believe we'll get to a point where to declare Christian scriptural truths will be deemed as a hate crime. You can see it. We're moving that way. Why will it be a hate crime? Because for you to claim the uniqueness of Jesus will upset someone else. And they'll say, you are speaking hate speech because you don't accept what I accept. And we need to be ready for that challenge to the Christian gospel. We need to recognize that in all matters, God's word is a lamp to our feet. Psalm 119. Read Psalm 119. Just read how often the psalmist talks about meditating on the word of God. And then in verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet. You know, in this country, it's very difficult to understand what total darkness is like. Because wherever we go, there's some source of light. But some years ago, Richard and I, we were in a remote village in India. And the only source of light was a 40-watt light bulb within the building. There was absolutely nothing outside whatsoever. And we ventured out. In an evening meeting, we ventured out of the building and that light just didn't reach outside at all. And we were in to call it a street is probably too much of a stretch, sort of a lane running through this village. And it was pitch black. There was no moon. You could see the stars, the heavens full of stars, but they did not impact the darkness of this lane. And, you know, we have a phrase, you couldn't see the hand in front of you. Well, very rarely do we actually have that in reality, but we did. You could not see a hand in front of you. And I think that's the sort of darkness that the psalmist is talking about, because he didn't have the benefit of street lights and wonder of electricity. That's the sort of darkness he's saying, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word will shine in the darkest of circumstances. Your word is what I need to come into my life and to shine into this situation, that situation, in order that I might know the way in which I should walk. Your word is a lamp to my feet. God's word will illuminate the way ahead for us. But you know, one of the issues with Christians, we want the word to be a lamp to our feet without ever switching the lamp on. You can have the brightness of light that you want. Unless you switch the thing on, it's useless. You know, I mean, as youngsters, one of the most wonderful presents. Now, this is a generational thing, and it shows you how sad things and how hard up we were in those old days. You know, to get a torch, we often would get a torch as a present. And you'd be sitting there in a dark night and you'd be shining the torch. You'd be in bed at night shining it on the ceiling. And there were those torches where you could change the colour. They had a little slide where you could change the colour. Anybody remember those? Old people! But it had to be switched on. And many of us as Christians and followers of Jesus, we want to benefit from the Word of God being a lamp to our feet without ever reading it. Yeah. How do you think a truth of Scripture gets into my spirit without reading it? It just doesn't work. You know, we can sit all day with a Bible in hand and we can stare at the cover. Does not lighten me up. Not lighten me up at all. You need to open it, switch it on, read it, assimilate it in order for that to bless you and light up the way ahead for you. How often I've spoken to Christians who are facing a particular challenge, they're going through a rough time, and say, when was the last time you read the Word of God? And say, ooh. And it isn't a question of saying a couple of weeks ago, whatever. It's so long ago they can't even remember when they read it. That word that you have not read will not be a lamp to your feet because you haven't switched on the torch. Yeah. Yeah. Switching on is reading the Word of God. You see, as we read this, what are we reading? We're reading Jesus. We're reading Jesus. We're reading Jesus speaking to us. You see, as I read this, I'm not just reading about Jesus. It's not a piece of history. It's not just a few words on a page. This, empowered by the Holy Spirit, becomes a conversation with the living Jesus, and he will speak to us through it. Yeah. And so we say, God does not speak to us. Have you read the Word? No. How are you going to get to the Word then? This book, breathed upon by the Holy Spirit, becomes life to us because it's the Word of Jesus to us. Yeah. And my challenge to all of us this morning, as we head into all that God has got for us in this new year, is to give ourselves to spending more time dwelling in the Word of God. Yeah. Dwelling in it. Mm. Take time to meditate upon it. This is our heart conviction here in Emmanuel, that Jesus fulfilled every promise made by the Father, and the promises are contained here in the written Word of God. Because this, we have Jesus, the Word of God, speaking this Word of God, which God in his mercy has given to us. You know, as we look at the New Testament. In John chapter 6, Jesus has spoken to of himself as the bread of life. And some people cannot accept these sayings. And it's interesting, you know, as you read through the scriptures and how Jesus interacted with people, he never compromised in order to win a follower. He never compromised in order to make discipleship easier. And sometimes I think we perhaps have gone down a road of compromise, where we want to make things easier for people rather than just the straightforward truths of the gospel. So Jesus speaks of himself in John chapter 6 as the bread of life, and it says in verse 66, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. We would have had a crisis, and we would have said, how do I need to reformulate this message in order that people do not move away? Jesus doesn't. In fact, he turns to the 12 and he says, do you want to leave me too? So he is aware that this is a challenge to all who were there, and each and every one had to respond to that challenge. Simon Peter, this is his answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is part of the unshakable conviction of us as a community that Jesus is the eternal word of life. He speaks it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. The early church in Acts 4 preaches salvation is found in no one else, because there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is part of the very building block, the DNA of Emmanuel Church. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, did something no one else has ever done, making fellowship with the Father possible. So this Jesus is not simply there in the book to be read about, but is there in order to be encountered. That's why I say this is Jesus speaking to us. This book is Jesus in conversation with us. We engage with this. Not because it's just a dead written word, because it's the word of God to us. And we engage with it. And feel free to question it, folks. Because there are bits that we struggle with. And we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us in these situations, to bring revelation. You know, when you are in a relationship with someone else, when you've been married for however many years, not every conversation makes sense. Yeah. I say the women in the place, they get it. Your husband is usually the one who struggles with conversations, and they are the ones who appear to be as thick as bricks. And you need to talk through to get to some point of understanding. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we need to engage with God. God doesn't mind having a conversation with us. If he is a loving heavenly Father, he does not object to you coming to say, Father, I don't understand this. Those of us who are parents will be able to identify with this fact, that as your kids grow, there are questions. There are questions which sometimes, you know how children have the ability to ask the most awkward question? And there you are as the parent and you think, I have absolutely no idea. But you engage, and God wants to engage with us. So it's not a question about reading a dead book. It's a question of having an encounter through the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit with the Jesus who was crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended. To be a people of word and spirit. And as we do that, what we'll find is something happens within us. The word of God tells us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And I can apply that to every person sitting in this room. No matter how long you have been a Christian or how short a time you've been a Christian, your mind needs some work doing to it. Be transformed. Allow your mind to be transformed by this word of God, spirit breathed, and allow it to be applied to your mind and have the rubbish pushed out as it's replaced by the word of God. Yeah. And as we, I'll tell you what, Ali, we'll have the band back up, please. As we come to a close, the Bible, God breathed about the Word of God, all about Jesus. It has so many promises. And I've mentioned the Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended. But we must not forget that the Jesus in whom we believe is the Jesus who will one day return. Yeah. We need to be a people whose mind is fixed on Jesus and his return and all he wants to achieve between now and then, rather than on the politics of the day. Because one brings depression and one brings life. Now, which one do you think that is? Jesus reveals to us through Paul, writing in Thessalonians, this is a promise of God in the written word of God. This is God breathed. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. This is a promise of the word of God to every follower of Jesus. That we have a destiny promised by him. That we will spend eternity with the Lord. And Paul, in writing this, says, now turn to one another and encourage one another with these words. That's what Paul is saying. Do not be despondent. Do not be downcast. Do not look at what is happening in the world and allow that to be the thing that governs our emotions, our thoughts. Jesus will return. And he does not return riding on a donkey. He returns King of Kings, Lord of Lords, where every eye will see him and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's stand together. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. One thing I would ask of each of us as we head into all that God has got for us, as God writes another chapter in the life of Emmanuel Church, is to give yourself to reading his word. There are some here, you don't read it at all. Start with little steps. I think very often we as Christians, we make the mistake when we're faced with a challenge. We don't start with the little steps. It's almost like we start with the marathon, and that lasts about a day. You know, if I were to take up running, I'm absolutely convinced exercise is bad for you, by the way. The number of people in this room who had accidents while exercising, I have never had an accident walking from our front door to the car. Never, never. Take little steps. You don't start a marathon by going from zero to however long a marathon is. You take little steps. And if you are not used to reading scripture, read a few verses a day and allow it to build. If you're those who are more in tune with reading scripture, just allow a few more minutes. Little steps. Ali, let's sing.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior of that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, the sighs still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord of God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. Forever saints, we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
And then on the third.
And on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sin? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Let's sing that one again. He shall return.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus'
meeting before this gathering. Richard had a prophetic word, and I'm going to ask if he would come and bring that again, because it just speaks so much into where we are as a community and what God wants to do. Richard.
I want you to know, says the Lord, that this new series of heart convictions did not start in the heart of man. But this new series started with me. And I was the one that planted it into the hearts of men so that you would understand afresh what the DNA of this church is. Because I am the one who is safeguarding the DNA in this church for generations to come. Yeah. This is not a season just to look back as to what took place years ago, but it's to look forward for all that I am going to do in you and through you as I release the DNA afresh upon you. The DNA is my character within you. The DNA in this church is my heartbeat for you. So in this series, you will need to consider the challenge from heaven. Do I want this DNA in me? Or do I want the DNA of something else to flow through me? For the DNA in this place is simply this. It is Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
He shall return.
Shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
So right now, wherever you are, just consider that next small step. Don't think beyond that. Consider that next small step you can take in your relationship with the written word of God. Covenant before God to take that. So Father, just pray for every one of us who have committed before you to take that next small step. Lord, that as we take that, we will just know more of your presence. We'll be more aware of your spirit, and that your word will bear much fruit in our lives. To the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we're going to leave our meeting there. Refreshments are served in the foyer, where it's probably about -2. So feel free, please, to get your refreshment. Come back in here. And if you are intent on spilling it, can you make sure you just spill it on someone else, not the floor? No, let's fellowship together and see what God's going to do as we covenant with him for this coming year. Amen.
Amen. Amen.